Super Bowl Sunday, everybody got the jerseys on. Some don't have a jersey on. I don't have a jersey on. I'm just here to ref. I'm just here to declare the victory. I'm here to declare the winner. You know, Jennifer's talking about Carson. He was down in that match. And many of us, a lot of times in our life, we feel like we're down in the match. I mean, we're being outscored. We're being outmaneuvered. We're being outplayed. Hallelujah. The ref is, you know, he's determining. He's calling the shots. He's determining the score. He sees what's going on. But, you know, it's just not over till it's over. No matter what it looks like, it's just not over till it's over. So if you could be down 10 to nothing and have 10 seconds left in your match, and God will equip you, empower you to pull a reversal in your circumstance and pin that devil to the mat. And then that ref just slaps his hand on the mat and says, that's it. It's over. You stand in victory. We're going to cross that finish line. When we get there, I want you to know Jesus is going to grab your hand like that ref grabbed Carson's hand, and he's going to throw it up in the air and say, you win. You made it. Come on. Well done, good and faithful servant. It looked bad for a minute. You may have been down for a moment, but you win. You got the victory in Jesus' name. Amen. So glad you're here. God is good. Sunday night, for those of you that were able to be here, I already know you were blessed. Man, Dream On was here. They brought a worship team. We did some tag team and got there up the end. Noe got up. Mary got up, did some worshiping and some singing. We did some preaching and just declaring. It was an absolute fabulous time. So we're already kind of semi-making plans to have them come back soon. So we're getting some more events on the calendar, but it is imperative to the success of any event that you are present, because that is our momentum. You count, you matter, your energy counts, your anointing counts, your faith counts, and when we bring it all together, man, we can just gather steam and momentum in the spirit to do what God's called us to do. When you're not here, you are definitely missed. Don't think for a moment that you're not. Your faith is missed. Something is lacking when you're not in the house. And I know there's life events, and I understand all that. But man, if you can be anything that God is doing in this place and in the place that he's called us to in the future, I promise you, he will reward you in that, and you will be blessed and increased as a participant in it. Amen. So you matter. Turn to your neighbor, tell him you matter. I know, see the enemy, he would love to just keep you out and keep you down, keep you out. But he can't keep a good man down. He can't keep a good woman down. He can't keep a good family down. Why? Because God is in you. The greater one lives on the inside of you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The same spirit that Jesus was raised from the dead with dwells on the inside of you. That's a good thing. Amen. So we're going to have a good time today. And we're going to talk a little bit about, I don't know how much football we're going to talk about today. I don't know. I still just getting over the Buckeyes. It's just rough. But we're going to talk about some good things today that pertains to your life and your future and your faith. I'm going to title this morning. I've titled it before, but I've preached this message, but I'm preaching it a little bit different today. And I titled it several years ago, It's Good. Turn to your neighbor, say it's good. And when I titled it several years ago, we had a little roll-in video or one of the earlier longest field goal kicks in history, and people went ecstatic. And when the kick went through the upright, all the announcers said in great bliss and euphoria, it's good, it's good, it's good. And I think about that as we look at a key scripture today. Go ahead and turn to the book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. We'll take a text here. We won't stay here long, but I want to hit these important scriptures because it really does matter to your future and your understanding of what you might be going through and what you may be facing. We all go through. Man, if you know somebody that doesn't ever go through, grab a hold of their coattails and don't let go. Even better than that, if you know somebody that goes through and comes out the other side victorious, grab a hold of their coattail and don't let go. Come on, there's some good people out there to look up to. Paul the Apostle said it this way. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. Paul the Apostle in the book of Corinthians chapter 11, he said, follow me as I follow Christ. Man, what a statement. What a bold statement. And you think and consider all the things that the Apostle Paul went through and suffered. But on the other side, he came out victorious. Nothing could stop him. He knew who he was. He knew where he came from. He knew what his calling was all about. And he had a great revelation and understanding that where he was going. So he endured the affliction. Okay, here we go. Are you there? There we are. And we know that all things work together for what? Good to those who are to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. Okay, anybody love God in the house today? Come on, just see a big wave. Come on, if you're loving. Yes, Lord, we love you. So no matter what you're going through, it's going to turn out for good. Wow, what a statement. How can you say that, preacher? You have no idea what I've been facing, the hell that I've been going through, the opposition that I've been warring against. You don't know how bruised and battered my spirit is. You don't know how wounded my soul is. You don't know how close I am to quitting and giving up. Oh, yes, I do. Hallelujah. And so does the person next to you. You're not in this thing alone. You are not. He is faithful. All things work together for good. You know, and I've preached this in the past, and you know, one of the hallmark things and revelations that the Lord spoke to me out of this was that some things are not all things. Turn to your neighbor and say, something are not all things. So if you're going through something, it may not look like it's good. Why? Because it's not all yet. Is that right? So if you're going through something, it may not be an all thing moment. But when some things, oh, this is so good. When some things become all things, it reveals the main thing. So it's the culmination of your struggle. It's the culmination of your victories. Here, let me just show it to you this way. Here, Carson, come up here. Hold my mic for me. Yeah, there you go. So when some things become all things, it reveals the main thing. So this is all things. This is nothing. That's something. All right, so what's that something? Well, that something right there might be a victory that you had in your life, but it's not all things, it's just something. Oh, wait a minute, that victory was great. Let's think about Joseph here for a minute. Joseph was called by his daddy. His daddy gave him a coat of many colors. He was his daddy's favorite. And then Joseph had a dream that God was going to promote him and elevate him to the heights of success. And he was going to be above his brothers and even the patriarch of the family, his daddy. He got the coat. He was young. He was only like 13 years old. But as soon as he got the coat of favor, man, that was something, wasn't it? You ever have a just, man, that was something, that was great. And then all of a sudden, he found out for every one person that loved him, 11 people hated him. His brothers hated him for it. His brothers despised him for the favor that was on his life. And as soon as God marks you out for something special, for his favorite, for his calling, for his purpose, He marks you out. He calls you. He stamps you with his approval. You feel his presence in your life. You feel that unction and that passion on the inside, that anointing, that drive, and that faith to accomplish and to do something and to be something great. As soon as that happens, you'll find out everybody's not on board. Nobody will get as excited about your dream as you will. And if it's not exciting enough for you to talk about, shout about, brag about, it's not exciting enough to move you. So he got the coat for free, didn't cost him anything, but he realized that favor, even though it may not be fair, it's not embraced by everyone. For so every one person that loved him, 11 people hated him. But that was something, wasn't it? You would just think that his brothers would embrace the dream that he had. You're going to be a great man. You're going to be the favorite of the house. But his brothers hated him for it. But Joseph didn't care, because the next thing you know, Joseph goes to sleep at night, has a dream. Isn't that something? You're going to be great. You're going to rise to the top. I'm going to use you in a mighty, mighty way. Isn't that wonderful? No, that's just something. Man, isn't that something? And then what happens to Joseph? Joseph goes and he checks on his brothers as they're out in the field, tending to the flocks and tending to the sheep. He's bringing them food. His jealous brothers got angry with him. What are you doing out here spying on us, old Joseph? And his brothers conspired and said, let's kill him. Let's just get rid of him. They conspired to the point to where they took his coat. They took his favor. They took it off of him. They ripped it up. They dipped it in sheep's blood. They sent it back to daddy. Said he'd been mauled by an animal. In actuality, they just threw him in a pit before they could decide what to do with him. Man, ain't that something? How about you? Turn to your neighbor and say, ain't that something? Oh, the next thing that happens, all of a sudden, there comes a caravan heading to Egypt, slave traders. They take him out of the pit. Well, at least he's not in the pit anymore. They sell him into slavery. Ain't that something? But after all, that didn't affect him too bad, because he rose to the heights of the house of Potiphar. He's in charge of the whole house. Ain't that something? I mean, life sometimes feels like a roller coaster, doesn't it? One minute you're on top, next minute you're down in the pit. Next minute you're on top. And then at Potiphar's house, accused of rape by Potiphar's wife because he rejected her advances. He maintained his integrity. He held on to his purpose. And then they threw him in prison. Ain't that something? But you can't keep a good man down, because even in prison, the mighty hand of God rests upon this patriarch of the faith, and from deep down within, once again found himself imprisoned and in a dark place. But even there, he rose up to be the foreman of the prisoners. Ain't that something? Oh, can you just measure your life? That's what you need to do today. Just go home and start writing down, ain't that something? Where you were 5 years ago and where you are today. Maybe where you were a year ago and look at you now, honey. Things are going to work out for your favor. You may not be at all things just yet. You may be going through a good something. You may be going through a bad something. But all things are about ready to take place in your life. Because when some things become all things, they reveal the main thing. Are you ready? What happened to this guy? Here he is in prison. Then you got a couple jokers from the palace. Get in trouble with the king. Get thrown in prison. They have dreams of beheadings, and they have dreams of advancement and promotion, and they don't know what the dreams mean. And then Joseph interprets the dreams. He said exactly what's going to happen. One's going to die. One's going to get promoted. Don't forget me when you get to the palace. Ain't that something? Guess what happens? They get to the palace. The butler gets there. And what does he do? He forgets him for 2 years. Ain't that something? What about your life? What's the tragedy that you've been through? It's something, man. It hurts. When I look out across this congregation, because I know you all personally, I know your stories. I know what you've faced. I know what you've been through. I know what some of you are going through right now. I know what challenges you're facing. I know what challenges that you've already overcome. I've seen the obstacles that you have plowed through. Man, y'all something. You're a great people of faith. You're coming through. So what happens to this guy? He gets forgot about for 2 years, and then all of a sudden, Pharaoh has a dream, and the dream no one can interpret, and Pharaoh says, I'm going to kill everybody. Someone needs to tell me about this dream. And then all of a sudden, the butler has an epiphany. I remember when I was in prison, there was this guy, he was a Jew, and he could interpret dreams. Let's bring him out. And then from the prison to the palace in 24 hours, ain't that something? But what are we trying to get to? We're trying to get from the some things becoming all things that reveal the main thing. These some things are adding up. The cup is filling up. Can I tell you today, your cup of some things are filling up. You've been on a spiritual roller coaster. You've been on a soulish yo-yo journey. You've been up, you've been down, you've been in, you've been out. You've been in favor, you've been out of favor. You've been in the pit, you've been in Potiphar's house. You've been in prison, and now you're in the palace. I don't know where you're at in that journey, but your cup is filling up. Let me just tell you right now, be of good courage. Your cup is filling up. It's not over yet. It's just something. You're on your way to all things. Hold on, honey. The best is yet to come. So he gets up there to the palace. He interprets the dream of Pharaoh. Tells Pharaoh what's getting ready to happen. 7 years of plenty. 7 years of famine. You better get ready. You better prepare. And out of that dream, he gets promoted. He becomes the second most powerful person in the world. He became the commodity pit of the world. Ain't that something? You know, there's challenges on the bottom, and then there's challenges on top. God gave him revelation and understanding. He gave him wisdom, how to store grain, how to keep it dry, how to keep the rats out, how to keep the bugs out, how to prepare for a famine that's getting ready to come. And when the famine came 7 years later, all of a sudden the world begins to come to Egypt because everyone is dying, including his family, his daddy Jacob, his 11 hateful brothers, a brother that was born that he didn't even know yet. Ain't that something? Let me rewind this tape and let me tell you why I'm rehearsing this story. Because Joseph had a dream. He didn't understand when he started on this journey what this dream meant or where the dream would take him and how inconvenienced in life he would have to be and the things that he would have to experience, the things that he had to suffer, the issues that he would have to solve, the problems that he would have to overcome. He didn't know what was in store. He just had a dream. Do you think if you knew everything that was in store for you to reach and achieve everything that God had for you through and out of this life, that if he showed you the journey that you would have to take, that any of us would sign up for it? Ain't that something? But look at that dream he had. The dream he had was where his brothers would come and bow down to him, that he would rise to the top and the apex of the universe, really, of humanity. And here he is. He is the second in command of all of the world. And here comes his brothers out of famine, out of the land of Canaan, coming to survive. They came to his Joseph to receive food. I'll make a long story short. They didn't know it was their brother. They didn't recognize him. They thought he was dead. And then Joseph reveals himself to his brothers. Ain't that something? When Joseph reveals himself to his brothers, he said, "Don't fear. I'm not going to kill you. What you did and meant for evil in my life, God meant for my good." All these some things became all things and revealed the main thing. You're on your way. You're an overcomer. You're going to make it the victory. All things will work together for good to them that love the Lord and that are called according to his purpose. Come on, your cup is filling up. Get ready. The best is yet to come. Come on. Put your hands together. Give God a big clap. Thank you. Isn't God good? That's the first sermon. Okay, I've got about 20 minutes. 1 Timothy 6:12. I won't stay here long. What does he say? Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. The faith, what you're going through, it's a fight, and it's a good fight. I want to take one example from the Bible, and we're going to wind this up. Go to 2 Kings chapter 4. I love this story. I love it. I love this lady. I'm going to meet her someday. She's just an amazing example, perseverance and faith. The Bible's filled with great women. Great women of faith. Chapter 4, and the story begins at verse 8. I'm going to paraphrase it. Or would you just like me to read it? Want me to read it? Let's just read it. Love this story. "And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither and ate bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold now, I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passed by us continually." So this woman's rich, she's great, she's well known, she's affluent. And she recognizes the man of God for who he is. Bible says, "And she said unto her husband, I perceive it's a man of God." Verse 10, "Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and stool and a candlestick. And it shall be when he comes to us that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber, and he lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, Call the Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him." The prophet is getting ready to give her a prophet's reward. "And he said on, and she said unto him, Say now unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? What you want?" He said, "Careful for all the things that you've done for us. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captains of the host?" You want me to introduce you to the people at the top? You want affluence, you want a seat at the table, you want a membership to the club. I can do that. He goes on to say to her, he says, what am I going to do for you? Would thou have be at the king's table? And she answered and said, no, I'm cool here with my own peeps. Verse 14, and he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered and said, verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old. She got an issue. She wants a child. Her husband's old. And he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my lord, thou man of God, don't lie unto me, thy handmaiden. Man, it was almost too much for her to hear. It was almost too hard for her to even believe the possibility of it. God will put you in a place where it's hard for you to believe what he's getting ready to do in your life is even possible. Gosh. But God is able. Is anything too hard for God? Lord God, I know if this is going to happen, that only you could do it. Wow. How many of you want to trust God with your life that way? He said, about this season, according to the time of life, you're going to have a son. She said, I can't hardly believe it. But the woman conceived and she bare a son at the season that Elisha had set unto her, according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, it fell one day that he went out to his father, to the reapers. And he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to the lad, carry him to his mother. Daddy said, take the boy to mama. He wants to be with his mama. There's a sermon in that. He said, take him to his mother. And when they had taken him and brought him to his mother's, he sat on her knees till noon, and then he died. This child died in his mother's arms. Man, it's a tough spot. Tough spot for any parent. Tough spot. And I know personally in our own family, things like that have happened to dear people very close to us. It's tough. Hard situation. Very grieving. Very grim. Sorrowful. But we fight the good fight of faith that we may hold on to eternal life. Not just this life, eternal life. I mean, you ready for eternal life? This child died in the arms of his mother. She was grieved. But something she had from this prophet was that this child was a promise. This child was a promised child. She said, don't lie to me. Don't tell me something and don't make it happen. Or just don't say it at all. I can live without hearing the scenario or getting my hopes up. I've lived down here in Hopelessville for a long time. Just leave me alone. You ever hear somebody say, don't get my hopes up? But you know, God's all about getting your hopes up. Because this is about faith, hope. This is about our future. This is about God's plan for our lives. This woman, he got her hopes up and he delivered. But the child died. She could hardly bear it. Look what she does here. Incredible. Incredible. So she went up and she laid him on the bed of the man of God. She took the child. She took him up to the prophet's chamber. Laid the bed on the prophet's chamber. She laid the boy on the prophet's chamber. She laid the dead child in the bed of the prophet that she made for him. And she shut the door upon him and she went out. Look what she did. This is your faith talking. This is your challenge for the situations that you face. Husbands, she said, send me, husband, and I pray thee, and take a young man and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. She knew where her answer lied. Whatever it was going to be, the man of God held the answer. Do I bury my child or does the promise live? Sometimes we got to face that in our life. Do we bury our dream or does it live? We're all too quick to bury our dream because we don't go to the one who holds the answer. Don't bury your dream until God says bury it. Don't put Lazarus in the tomb. Don't seal it up till God says bury it. Remember, it's just not over till God says it's over. Hallelujah. She mounts up. She goes to find the man of God. Look what happens. She came to the man of God at Mount Carmel. It's an amazing place. I've been there a couple times. Fire got called down there. And it came to pass that the man of God saw her far off, that he said, Gehazi, his servant, behold, yonder, look yonder. Oh, I love that. He from Georgia, look yonder. Look yonder. There's a woman that comes. She's coming afar off. It's the Shunammite woman. Behold, yonder is the Shunammite. Verse 26. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her and say unto her, oh, watch this. Is it well? This also is a derivative. Couldn't be derived. As you research in the book of and the concordance, is it good? Is it all good? Is it well? Is everything all right? Look what she says here. He says, go to her and ask her and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? And is it well with thy child? And she answered, it is well. It's good. It is good. Can you imagine the faith of this woman, knowing what she just faced, passing of her promise while it laid in her arms? She put it to rest on the prophet's bed. The prophet said, how's your husband? How you doing? How's the child? It's all good. Man, the faith of this woman to look at her circumstances and see what she has faced and the pain that she's gone through. And from, it has to be another source. You can't do this without God. God gives you that measure of faith to hope beyond hope, to hope beyond the scope of your human limitations, just to believe God and trust God. I know what I just witnessed. I know what I just saw. No matter what, it's well. There's a story about the man who wrote the song, It Is Well With My Soul. Tragic boat accident. His family drowned in the ocean. He referred to this scripture in the Bible when he was asked about the plight of his family. He penned the words and wrote the song, It Is Well With My Soul. Lost his family at sea. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. Can you imagine? Can you say that today? Can you say it's well? No matter what you're facing. Your dream might be laying on the prophet's bed, dead. And God says, how's it going? Me, personally, I have to be honest with you. Sometimes I say, God, you know what? It's just not going real good right now. Anybody ever just say that to God? This just ain't working. It's not working, God. You said, but it's dead. It's not working. What would it take for us as God's children to be able to look at the most dire circumstance and the worst tragedies in our lives to say, it's well? It would be easy to say, well, it's well with my husband. He's doing all right. You know, crop is good. He's doing good. I'm fine. I'm good. I'm still in good health. That'd been easy. But she said, it's all good. She knew that all things work together for good. My husband's good. I'm good. My son's good. Do you know what? Because in all reality, her son was good regardless of what was getting ready to happen next. We win. We win in life. We win in death. We have the victory. This is not our home. We're just pilgrims here, sojourning. We're just passing through. Like Abraham said, I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God himself. Think about that. How could he sing and declare it as well, losing his family at sea? How are some of you standing here today after losing loved ones and children and family members and pain and divorce and loss and bankruptcy and lost homes and lands and a reputation smeared and falsely accused, sometimes rightly accused? You're still here. What does that say about you? That says something about you. You, the Shunammite woman, you're Joseph the dreamer. You're Noah building the ark for 120 years, getting laughed at. It is well. You know why you're here today? Because you got it is well in your soul. You're not just here because you feel like it. You're here because it is well. You're not just here because you even want to be here. Some of you would rather be home in bed, but you got an it is well in your soul. Some of you push past a lot of pain in your life to be here fighting the good fight of faith. Do you know what you said? It is well. Wow. You're warriors. God must be real. This thing has to be real. Or you wouldn't be here, would you? You would have quit a long time ago. But somewhere, facing the worst tragedy of your life, in the midst of your pain, in the depths of your sorrow, wiping your tears, and grieving a broken heart, up out of you, there came an it is well. It's well, because I know that no matter what I go through, the ups, the downs, the ins, the outs, the blessings, the turmoil, the cursings, the pain, the struggle, the issues, it is well. I know in whom I believed. My Redeemer liveth. Oh, what in the world is the devil going to do with some folk like that? You're going to meet that Shunammite woman someday. You look at her today and you think to yourself, man, I wish I could have her faith. I declare she's in a cloud of witnesses today saying, I wish I could have their faith. I wanted to be where she's at. She wants to be where you're at. You're a chosen generation called to the kingdom for such a time as this. Living with the power of God and the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. Living in a dispensation that the prophets would have loved to have been a part of. You're here. I wish I could have been that Shunammite woman. I wish I could have been there with Noah. I wish I could have passed through the fire with the three Hebrew children. I wish I would have walked through that lion's den. Man, I wanted to face those 10,000 that David slayed. What about the ones that Samson tore down? I wish I'd have been there. You know what they're saying? You well-wishers. They're saying, I wish I could have been here. As a matter of fact, the scripture says that the prophets looked through the telescope of time and prophecy and said they desired to be alive in the dispensation of the church. Because not only would it be God on them, it would be God in them. Think of who you are. Wow. I want to be the Shunammite woman. Shunammite woman wants to be you. Look at the hour that God chose you to live in. We are in the last of the last days, dear Lord Jesus. Wow. Well, this woman talks to the man of God. The man of God sends his servant. The servant goes, lays a staff on the kid's face. Kid doesn't get up. The prophet said, I'll get it. Just because it doesn't work one way doesn't mean it won't work another. Don't give up until you know it's time to give up. Some of you want to give up, but you can't give up. You just can't do it because you know it's not time. It's not over yet. Oh, I just want to, I'm just so tired of this. My cup is full. This is enough. Well, you're still here. You must still be well. It may still be dead. But you're saying it's still well. It might still be broken, but you're saying it's still well. They might still be lying about you, but you're saying it's still well. They might still be backslidden. You say it's still well. It's good. It's all good. God is bringing you through. God looks at us and he sees a great people. He sees a generation of the church that he has equipped and prepared for not only what is, but also what is to come. You're going to come through this thing unscathed, like the three Hebrew children. You're going through the fire, but you're coming out. You're not even going to smell like smoke. Your hair's not even going to be singed. You're going to walk through this thing. You're the bride of Christ. He's taken all the spots and he's ironing out all the wrinkles in your life. He is getting ready to present to himself a glorified bride, and you're it. It is well. I don't care what they said, what it looks like, and if it's still laying there dead. Jesus has the last say. You're on the winning team. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's well. He goes and he takes care of the boy. He raises him from the dead. But she knew it was well regardless. What about Abraham as we close? God asked for his promise, said put him on the altar, stick him through with a knife, sacrifice your boy, the promised child. Abraham said, it's well. Because not only are you the author of life, you are the defeater of death. We overcome in every situation. I want to pray for you today. And I don't know where you're at in your journey, your process. I don't know if your cup's full, half full. I don't know. Maybe you want to get a smaller cup. Anybody up for a smaller cup? Me too. But do you know what? Your cup is the right size for you. There is enough grace being extended for you to fill your cup. The good, the bad, the ugly. But when the some things become all things, it's going to reveal the main thing. You're going to look back and you're going to say, I didn't understand that, Lord, but I do now. I didn't know how you was going to bring me through that pain, Father, but somehow you did it. I didn't think I could take one more tragedy in my life, but God, here I am. The measure of grace that God is extending to you is in direct proportion to the size of your cup. Did you hear me? The measure of grace God is extending to you is in direct proportion to the size of your cup. Apostle Paul said, I've had enough of this. I want to quit. Satan himself has come to buffet me. Everywhere I turn, that he's dogging my tail. The Apostle Paul goes to God and he says, God, will you do something about this? Anybody ever been there? Will you do something about this? God tells the great Apostle Paul, a man born out of season, he tells him and he says, my grace is sufficient for you. Father, I pray right now. Every person in this place under the sound of my voice, Lord God, wherever they're at in their journey, wherever they're at in their struggle. They might be on top. They may be in the pit right now. Maybe they just got to the palace. Happy day. But Lord God, we know as we look forward in life, there's more pits to come. There's more palaces to come. There's more ups to come. There's more struggles to come. There's more downs we have to face. We know, Lord God, we'll encounter pain again. As much as we try to avoid it, we know it will come. But Father God, we just make a declaration today that we trust you. And we want to say, it is well with my soul. It is all good. It's all good. And I prophesy over you today that your future is brighter than you could have ever believed. That he is working all those things together for your good. You will look back and say, I see it, I get it, I understand now. God's plan is being worked in your life.